saying no put an end to that momentum? We're not out of the woods yet. And there's been mass murder. I mean, if we want to call it that, you want to come out and say that's what, when you're talking about the having no accountability for the poison that you put in people, you know, and no one talks about, not anybody in authorities really talk about, they're slowly backpedaling away. I think we're coming out of that, but the bigger picture is we're inside of the Great Reset.
Everyone, it's Tim Pichot with the Liberty Advisor. Upcoming, we have an amazing show with Charlie Robinson and Tony Artaban of Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. Now, this was shot on location at Anarchapoco 2024. If you want to help support that conference and really support your own personal growth and development and maybe find some ways to make some money as well, you can buy those replays at anarchapoco.com. Now, I'm not getting anything out of this, other than trying to inspire you to be your best. And one of the best ways to do it is learn from other people who've already done what you're looking to do. That way you can save a whole bunch of time, effort, energy, and effort to help advance you to wherever you want to go. Now, I was speaking at the TDV Investment Summit, which was a separate add-on event, and that those can also be purchased. Again, I've got no affiliate relationship with this at all right now, but if you do want to support that and see all the great presenters who are there, you can find that out also at anarchapoco.com. And the last thing I'll plug is I am imminently coming out with different courses. One of them is going to be geared towards people who are close to retirement and how to retire. It's going to be called Your Great Reset Retirement Blueprint, and it's going to be a live masterclass only available to people who are email subscribers of myself. So you can head over to thelibertyadvisorshow.com to find, and if you click on the join newsletter section, you'll not only get my free ebook, but you'll also be on the email list for when we come out with that course later this month. And another course that we're coming out with as well is going to be on people who made a bunch of money in crypto, those crypto early adopters, and how you can legally avoid paying taxes using the same tools that the elite use in terms of different types of charitable trusts and foundations. These will be live classes with myself. Again, that's at thelibertyadvisorshow.com. This is an absolute banger of an episode, and hope you enjoy. Everyone, we are at Anarchapoco 2024 with Charlie Robinson. It's been 4 years since the last time we were together here, and we're also here with Tony Artaban of, was it Wise Wolf?
Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange.
And so, nothing's really gone on since the last time we've seen each other over here.
Definitely not COVID, not an impending economic collapse, nothing like that has happened. It's been totally normal.
It was so crazy. It was February of 2020, and here we were, you know, making fun of coronavirus. I guess we were the entire time, but yeah. Really, what have you learned about, I guess, either like humanity or COVID, or what do you think COVID really was ultimately? I know that's a big
man,
one.
I'll tell you, it's so wild. When we left here in 2020, we just assumed that everything was going to be normal. We really had normalcy bias. I mean, why would we think anything other, right? And 3 weeks afterwards, the world changed. I think I've learned that people are very easily manipulated, and if you get them scared, they will act against their own best self-interest. They will make short-term decisions as opposed to long-term decisions, and they will do what they are told when they're scared. And it's been kind of embarrassing to watch it. Frankly, I lost a lot of respect for the bulk of humanity over the last couple of years. When the statistics show that this virus, and I just sat with Steve Falconer, so we can get into the virus, whether it's even real, but whatever, has a 99.98% survivability rate in a median death age of 80. When the median death age in the United States is 79, normally you go, I'm not a mathematician, but I kind of put it this way. Like, if I took a math test and I got a 99.98% on it, would I ask the teacher for extra credit? Probably not. What if the extra credit could kill me or give me myocarditis, right? It definitely wouldn't. So I look at the statistical analysis, the calculations that people made, or I guess, frankly, maybe they didn't make them, about this, and they said maximum benefit is 0.02%. I'm already at 99.98. The best I can do is add an additional 0.02%. And the way to get there is to take this unproven, untested, rush to market experimental gene therapy. Are you interested? The answer should be absolutely not. I'm not interested in any way, shape, or form.
Hesitant.
And yet, we had drive-through lines where you could get vaccines. I mean, they were giving away donuts for your health.
What was it, Bill de Blasio in that video? He's like, oh, wait, I can get cheeseburgers? And you're telling me there's like a french fry component to this as well? And it's like 9 in the morning eating a cheeseburger.
Yeah,
it's really unbelievable. And we're all pretty fit guys with very low body fat percentage. And if there's anyone who shouldn't be worried at all, not that we are worried about this at all, it's people that are in shape. And you had alluded to the fact that, you know, if viruses are even real, I think that's really my big takeaway from 2020 is that I wasn't in the health freedom movement world. I was aware of it, but I didn't realize that viruses were a theory until midway through 2020. I was thinking all smart, thinking, oh, you know, this come, you know, we were talking about Wuhan in like February, March, April, thinking I was all smart. Then I realized, you know, that's probably a psyop to get us to looking into that as a direction. And now people think they're really smart because they're like, oh, I was early on to Wuhan. I'm like, well, no, that was also a psyop. I mean, so what do you think in terms of like, was that some sort of red herring to get us to look somewhere else?
I wound up on a boat with Dr. Andrew Kaufman, you know what I mean, last year. And I was like, tell me. I said, we're trapped on a boat, right? We're for several hours. I go, explain to me terrain theory. Just explain it to me. Talk to me. He went through, he laid this whole thing out. And I, you know, this was a concept I'd never even heard of. You know, I'm no doctor. I'm not interested in that. Are you interested in health freedom? I mean, I it never even crossed my mind. And I'm unqualified, by the way, just for the record, I'm totally unqualified to like get involved in medical analysis because it's not my background. But boy, I have some questions about a lot of things, you know what I mean? And I feel like if I'm asking these questions, why isn't everybody else asking them?
Yeah, and if we play it by their own rules, we play their game, which I hate playing their game, but let's just, you know, do that for a second here. And it was in 2020 when my girlfriend and I, Tina Marie, we drove all the way from Arizona to Jekyll Island to Geo or Griffin's Red Pill Expo, and that's where I met Dr. Andy Kaufman out there. Yeah. And he went through something called Koch's postulate, which is, I think Koch was sort of like the Fauci of the UK, if I'm not mistaken. And they have a whole series of protocols you go through in order to determine if something is real and legit. And I think like step one or two is you have to isolate the pathogen or the virus, in quotes. And so if you've never isolated the virus, you can't get to step 3, 4, 5 and however many steps there are in Koch's postulate. And so I'm like, by playing by your rules, you can't get to this. And then you start realizing, oh, wait, there's a PCR test. And who made up the PCR test? Dr. Kerry Mullis. And then, oh, he happens to get passed away mysteriously in August.
That was a coincidence.
And then I didn't realize until the other day that he has he wrote a book called Dancing Naked in the Mind Field. And basically that he came up with a PCR test shortly after he was at his cabin where he saw a glowing raccoon talking to him. And it was funny, like, I didn't know this until very recently when I was reading this book, Apocalypse of Yajnavalkya, or however you pronounce it. And I'm like, man, I'm like, it's funny how they never hear that part of the story. And
I'd pay good money to see a glowing raccoon. I'll be honest with you. I think I did that at the ayahuasca ceremony. I saw one once. It was that's Kerry Mullis said it was bullshit from the beginning. He just straight out called it the PCR test. It doesn't give you what you think it's going to give you.
He hated Fauci, detested him. Tried challenge. He says, I think his quote was, he doesn't know nothing about nothing, I think was his actual quote. And Tony, so we can get you involved in here. So we're all kind of finance guys, and I've got my thoughts on what the reasons for the whole pandemic occurred, but do you see financial components for why they had to pull what they pulled and when
Absolutely.
They pulled?
Absolutely. So if you look at the last quarter of 2019, and I had my radio show in San Antonio, and I was a sometimes fill-in guest for David Knight on InfoWars. I was sensing something on the horizon. You were talking about the Great Reset. You see that in the headlines a lot, especially in alternative media. But something was going on in that last quarter of 2019. I think people, if you want to reverse engineer what COVID was, in my opinion, it's akin to a hurry-up offense. I think all over the world in the years prior, we saw with Brexit, the Catalonians in Spain, the Hong Kongers, human beings were starting to withdraw from globalization and starting to go back into enclaves of ethno-nationalism, if that makes any sense. You started seeing people just getting away from the global order of things, wanting to go back to their own, you know, like language, culture, heroes, history, all of that. So the human beings were decentralizing. People all, this has been the trend of history since the Protestant Reformation, the American Revolution, decentralizing. And of course the globalists and the New World Order wants great centralization. So those two things can't exist in the same space. So I think what you're watching at the end of 2019, there was the largest exodus of CEOs in history.
Oh, that's right.
Largest exodus. And quietly, this is when I first started appearing on David Knight's show and we talked about the Federal Reserve and what they were doing. Quietly, central banks, not just the Fed, were printing trillions to prop up the liquidity market, the overnights called the repos. At the end of 2019, I was talking about $6 trillion. I said, folks, are you paying? This is $6 trillion they've created out of nothing to prop up something you've never heard of. And this is going on worldwide. I said, something's on the horizon. I don't know what it is. Something's on the horizon. So I remember January 3rd, I believe, I think I'm correct, 2020, was the first broadcast that InfoWars had of the new decade. I was hosting for David Knight, so the first weekday broadcast. That was the day that Trump had Soleimani assassinated. So this is the Iranian general, is very beloved. People were hashtagging World War III, World War III. I kept thinking, this is something, the decade's kicking off with a bang. I knew there was something, but I didn't feel it was that. And you started to see some of the headlines about a week later about the Wuhan incident and all this stuff, like what's coming out of the wet markets. And then you get the whole, you know, it's a bioweapon and people are collapsing and it's the worst ever. I just started to look at the great revealer for me is whether it's the war on terror, you know, it's the invisible enemy. I always look to see what's happening at the U.S. border. And they never did anything about the border. They want that weapons of mass immigration. They want the free flow of people. That's for economics. It's for demographics. For all the things that the silent weapons for quiet wars. That's what's happening to our southern border. So when I knew that nothing was going to happen there, but we're locked down, you know. So you're not essential, you know. So this is Friday the 13th, March of 2020. Trump signs the executive order, makes Anthony Fauci president of the United States. So that's. Watching all of that, I believe it was a hurry-up offense. 4 years later, looking back, it seems that, and it's sloppy. You talk about, you know, the 98% survival. I mean, we all knew, like, into May of that year that, okay, we're looking around, everything's fine. Why isn't everything put back together? Well, we have to continue the process. The lie has to continue. You have to acquiesce to it. And, you know, they ran that cycle until it was no longer viable. Thank you, Canadian truckers. If anybody remembers, and the pilots in the United States for Southwest, some of these people are real heroes. It, just the average day, everyday person saying no, put an end to that momentum. We're not out of the woods yet. And there's been mass murder. I mean, if we want to call it that, you want to come out and say that's what, it, when you're talking about the having no accountability for the poison that you put in people, you know, and no one talks about, not anybody in authorities really talk about, they're slowly backpedaling away. I think we're coming out of that, but the bigger picture is we're inside of the Great Reset. That's what this is.
Yeah, and going back to September 2019, you had the repo market going absolutely insane, and John Snice and I were making videos basically every single day, and I don't have the exact specifics off of my head, but usually you can go, and this was a central tenet of my 2020 talk here. I had all the slides, and it was called What's in Store for 2020, and actually it ended up being pretty accurate, which is a hard thing to do given what ended up happening. And what I saw was typically banks could go to what they call the Fed's discount window and borrow very, very cheaply. At the time, it was, I think it was like 0.75%-ish, right around there. But if you do, it's sort of like putting like a scarlet letter on yourself of you're in trouble. And so there was a bank that could have went to the Federal Reserve to do that, but instead they ended up going to another bank to get the loan. And I believe the overnight loan was for like 9 or 10% right around there. And so they could have got it for 0.75. They ended up getting it for 9. But so the only reason you would do that is to hide the fact you're in trouble. I think that bank rhymes with JPMorgan Chase. I can't remember the I'm not entirely sure about that, but I think, and then another point that you brought up is about decentralization. There was a huge move towards decentralization. A lot of what was going on even here at Enrico Poco back then was about decentralization. I had a podcast with Ernest Hancock called Decentralization of Everything in 2017. I was basically removed from Facebook in 2016. No, I had never got another follower on Facebook ever again after November 16th, 2016. So yeah, that's pretty natural. But what I think has gone on is that you've got people like Elon Musk who've now come in and centralized everything around X, and everyone thinks that, oh, the day is saved, you know, thank God for Elon, he's saved everything. But really what it's done is it's taken all the focus. No one's talking about decentralization of social media, because let's get everybody there, let's have them turn it into basically WeChat, so that way they're gonna rug pull us, and then you get the freedom of I think David Icke was talking about this, the freedom of speech, not freedom of reach. And it's really just a big either psyop, or they're getting everyone to think that he's this new hero of the mainstream alternative media. And I know that you've definitely have some probably comments on this.
Or they love Elon. I mean, they want us to love him, but he's a government welfare project. I mean, everything that he's done has government ties to it, whether it's Starlink or Solar City or Tesla or whatever. I mean,
it's all carbon credits. I mean,
you
hanging around with Greta Thunberg.
You can bash the government when you're Elon Musk, and it makes for a good show, and it sounds great, and it sounds like you're standing up for the people, but the actions show a much different story, because when you're so dependent on government contracts, I mean, SpaceX wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the relationship that he had with NASA and with the government and projects, you know, SpaceX wouldn't, it would have already gone out of business. So you can't be the guy that's going to expose the corrupt government while simultaneously being completely financed by the corrupt government and being part of the PayPal mafia, which, let's be honest, is tied to guys like Peter Thiel who are running Palantir, that's on you and doing all kinds of things. I mean, the PayPal mafia is so deeply embedded into Silicon Valley now that they have, it's like you mentioned Hurry Up Offense. It kind of reminds me of like when they would talk about guys that came out of the Bill Walsh system. You know, it would be like out of this, out of the PayPal system, it's this group of 19 guys. And then beneath that is this group of companies that these 19 guys have started, some of them with each other. And that's like some of the most powerful companies in the world controlling our data. So you've got a very select group of people, in which Elon was part of, not necessarily on the best terms with them, but still part of that group. And I think that maybe going forward, we have to be very careful about this technocratic state that we're walking into. For one, because it's a technocratic state, but also who's in charge of it? Some of the worst people in the world, like Peter Thiel, is not your friend.
But he's gay, so I mean, you can't say
he's
that.
He's a gay Republican libertarian who works for the Pentagon.
Pentagram.
The Pentagram. I mean, it's like.
And SpaceX is owned by the Space Exploration Technology Corporation, SET Corp. SET. Set is, in Egyptian mythology, is the devil storm god who kills Osiris, who's sort of like the Yeshua Jesus character in Egyptian mythology. And so you're like, oh, wow, you named your corporation after the guy that killed, basically after the devil in Egyptian mythology. And now you're the good guy and, you know, walk around with a Baphomet costume on Halloween and all this other stuff. And so it's just absolutely, I just can't believe how many people can't see this, or maybe they just want to, they're too afraid to say anything about it, or they are, I don't know, their heads are too far up there, you know what, to realize what's going on with all this. But I guess maybe shifting gears, what do you think they're going to maybe try to pull next? Because you see all these people who are like, oh, you know, maybe I got fooled last time, but I'm definitely not getting fooled this time, while they're getting fooled by Elon Musk already. And then I guess going back to the Egyptian mythology, you've got El as like one of the, you know, going back, I guess, to Sumerians, like their supreme god El. Elon Musk. I mean, so it's
I'll make a prediction. I have a prediction that I think some form of it will happen. An internet false flag. Here's the scenario.
Under pandemic.
It might not be exactly like this, but it'll be some sort of iteration of it. Somebody does something terrible at a school, as an example. And you and there's outcry and everyone is sad and the media is
not just sending your kids to school.
Running with it, yeah, you get them out of schools just in general. And then what transpires in the wake of this is that they said, well, you know, this guy was saying he was going to do all this stuff online. He'd been saying it for months, you know, and but the problem is, we didn't know who he was. He was using a VPN.
He was watching Macroaggressions podcast.
He was. He was using a VPN. He conducted his transactions in Bitcoin. He bought an unlicensed gun from a gun show and did
with
a bump stock and an extended magazine and all the things, right? So if only we had known who he was, we could have stopped this. But you people want to have your privacy on the internet. So you're going to have to pick. You either have your privacy or we have a school filled with dead kids. Which do you choose? And they guilt trip the general public into accepting an internet ID card. This way, we'll never have a school of dead kids again because we'll have the internet ID card. Now, every time you go on some deranged rant, the feds will be at your door in 11 minutes. You know, so that's the only way we can solve this problem. So I can envision a scenario where it's a problem reaction solution to get us into some form of full disclosure of who we are, on the internet, online, all of our purchases. They'll sell it to us out of fear. They'll sell it to us out of convenience. They'll say, well, this would be great. I mean, everybody, you won't even have to fill in all your information. We'll just know who you are when you go to check out at the shopping cart online because we know from your internet ID card. Won't this all be convenient? Elon will play a role in this. Yeah. We have a new WeChat. X. We're just going to be the internet of things, right? And we're going to have everything in there.
I did the other day where I took a photo of myself, put it on the internet, and it identified me, like just a random photo I just took. And so, I mean, it's good enough where they can detect Chinese people through mask of who they are. Like, right. So, I mean, right. Think you're gonna hide from that?
No, so it's working backwards. It's find the things that the state is terrified of. Anonymity, decentralization, and
guns.
Guns, obviously. It's like, well, why?
Freedom.
Yeah, we're scared of guns. We definitely don't want guns, but you need to give us $100 billion so that we can buy guns for this country over here. Right. We desperately need to ship Israel and Ukraine as many guns as we can, but you guys can't have the guns. So I envision that they will create a scenario, a fake one, of course, in which they have the justification, the moral high ground, in order to take away what's this version of the internet, and then they'll start to say, well, listen, we're going to move into internet 2.0 where things are a little bit different. You know, you can't just go online and call somebody an asshole and you know, because your screen name is super honky 123 or something like that. I mean, you're going to have to be fully disclosed online. And I think that at this conference, there's a lot of smart people that are preventing that, that are working on ways around that. But if I had to predict something, it would be that sort of concept is coming. It's coming, you know, and it might not be a school full of dead kids, but it'll be something. It'll definitely be emotional, and it'll get all the normies thinking, you're right, we have to change our way of doing things. And you know, we're going to have to sacrifice a little bit of our freedoms, aren't we, in order for safety and security? Don't they tell us that?
Would that be a staged event with crisis actors?
Could be.
Well, I once heard Ernest Hancock say, he's like, well, the reason why they want to take the guns is because they plan on doing something to shoot them for.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the whole reason that they're going to try taking the guns. And the thing is, we have this opportunity right now through blockchain, through different technologies that are out there, where you can build these different systems where you can't have the FBI or the CIA or someone go kick in your door and shut you down in terms of, you know, putting out information that can't be stopped. And so if, you know, Elon was actually legit, what he would have done is put a little bit of money. I mean, there was things, you know, all technology he probably could have taken over super cheaply for like probably a few million dollars, taken over one of these like little startups, used all of his branding and marketing power to put it behind it, and then have a system where you can't shut it down. But instead, you know, he wants to make himself the arbiter of truth, putting himself as the middleman in between everything. So in that way, they can rug pull guys like me and you and yourself who are on there. And it's just very upsetting knowing that, you know, humanity is at this crossroads where we can go towards the freedom through blockchain, where the social media, and it's not about social media and getting likes and all that other stuff, it's about putting out hardcore info. Like, I was putting out hardcore info about Epstein and Hillary and stuff, and now I can't go, I can't get reached anybody. I can't even tag myself. I've reached 30 people off 32,000 followers on there, which I haven't been
Job
on in
well
years.
Done.
Yeah, well, so, congratulations. Those are big numbers these days.
Congratulations. Yes. You're Steve Shadow Band, the band.
So tell me, where do you think one of the next attack vectors is going to come from? So do you think it's going to come from either like a cyber pandemic or what? Or they're just going to throw 15 different things at us at once and see what sticks?
Well, I think Gerald Celente has a point when he says when all else fails, they take you to war. I'm a veteran of three foreign wars, and I'm an anti-war activist. There's a reason. I've seen it up close. You talk about identifying yourself on the internet. I think of Nikki Haley on the recent Republican primaries, and she wants you to get an ID card. We go for the sake of the children. Oh, and I'm thinking, this lady is such a, I mean.
She's a brown woman, so you got to be careful what you say about her.
I'm not careful. She is a warmonger, just a disgusting person who I've never seen a war she doesn't love. And you talk about just saving the children. That's where this stuff comes from. If it's just for the children, these people are murderous. They have a lust for blood and they're heartless for power. So, you know, I'm it's kind of like when you have an injury and it's going to rain outside and you feel your hip or your knee. That's me with war. Like, I can just feel it. I hope that I'm wrong. I see we've been wrong, thank God, because I think I saw the issue with Russia and Ukraine, and I talked about how NATO's provoking this for years. I'm like, John McCain wanted to bring Ukraine into NATO. The second in command of Ukraine's army said, well, if we just get into NATO, and we're going to get wiped out, but if we just get into NATO, it'll be okay. I mean, just crazy. I mean, these people are nuts. And so it's amazing that we haven't. If you watched Putin on with Tucker, Putin calls it a special operation. They're very careful over there not to talk about a wider war. But over here, we're just like all in, blank check. We're going to go to war. So I'm glad that hasn't turned out into anything. But then you look at October 7th in Israel, and there's another front because the right didn't like the Ukrainian war, but they love the next one, so it's very much Goldilocks over here, looking for a formula. What excites you? What would you support? I mean, would you give up your freedoms, your liberties? Would you go on lockdown again? It's probably a combination of a lot of things. What can these sick SOBs think up? I mean, it's pretty much infinite. But they go to the same playbook. That's one thing. They're not very creative, but they are diabolical.
Yeah.
So they go to the same playbook. It's war. It's pestilence. It's chaos. It's order ab chaos.
And you were you a paratrooper?
Yeah.
And so, I think all I needed to hear about October 7th was, this is when I was still really down and out for the count with my injury, and all I had to hear, I didn't look into any of it. All I had to hear was there was paragliders coming in, and I'm like, I don't need to know anything else.
The Israeli army couldn't stop paragliders.
I'm like, the Iron Dome and all this stuff took 7 hours to stop paragliders coming in. I'm like, come on, people are buying this?
It's incredulous.
You got to give them a little bit of credit for getting a tiny bit creative on the paragliders thing. I did not have that on my bingo card.
Yeah, no.
At all. That's a fun one. But yeah, I agree with Tony. I mean, the war component of this is gross on every level. The fact that we, the fact that it's celebrated, I love football. I'm a football fan, but to watch the integration between the military and the NFL and the salute to service and how they sell that as like something patriotic
and how much do they pay for that? Like, don't
the military pays the NFL a lot of money for that. Yeah, that is not accidental. That the flyovers and all that stuff is part of the advertising. I mean, it comes out of the marketing budget. It's
propaganda.
Part of the advertising campaign. Propaganda comes in all flavors. And in America, I think it's what's really sad is that, when you see we've talked about G. Edward Griffin like 10 times over this week, but when you see his interviews with Yuri Bezmenov, they're talking about propaganda back in the 70s. He said, the thing is, you know, we Russians knew that Pravda was propaganda. We knew that that was a lie. We knew our media was lying to us. You in America, you don't think your media is lying to you. You're at a severe disadvantage because you're of the belief that, oh, that's happening to them in Russia. Those dumb Russians don't even know that they're getting lied to. No, we know we're getting lied to. You're the group that doesn't know you're getting lied to.
And then legalized, was it the Smith-Mundt Act that got repealed?
Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 legalized propaganda inside America to be used on Americans. I mean,
they wouldn't do that. That'd be bad.
But this is the whole point. This is when you wouldn't take the extraordinary step of legalizing something like that if you didn't intend on using it. And I see that with the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, and that now the new subset of that is I see that with the bail-in legislation for the banks. You know, you write this legislation that says that it is legal for us to take the money that is in your bank account because you're an unsecured creditor. I mean, it was when you open your bank account, it was legal for them to do it anyway. Much like, we're not going to pretend like propaganda didn't exist before 2012, you know, but they legalized it.
They legalized what?
So they legalized propaganda because they intend to use some propaganda, and they legalize a bank bail-in, in my assumption.
Do you want to explain what a bail-in is to people who might not know?
So we had the bailout in 2008 with the financial crash.
Well, we didn't have it.
The banks got money from the government. The government gave them money and bailed them out. The new legislation, the bail-in, says when the banks get in trouble next time, they don't have to go outside to get it. They can get it from inside. They can get it from the people that have their money in the bank.
Just a haircut.
It's just a haircut. And if you think that can't happen, look what happened in Cyprus in 2014. There was a dress rehearsal there. They did mostly Russian bank accounts there, but they you know, you show up, bank's closed on Friday. Oh, we're having technical issues. Saturday, Sunday, it's closed. Oh, it'll reopen on Monday. Monday it comes, doesn't reopen. What's going on? Tuesday comes. Well, we've made a decision that, you know, everything was insolvent, and so we have to take this money. Well, you can't take my money. We're going to riot. Well, actually, we can't take your money. Yeah. First, it's not your money. It's the bank's money. You're an unsecured creditor. Oh, and by the way, we just legalized it. And so, again, I think that's not like going into a meditative trance and like trying to see the future. It's like, this is how these people operate. If they have the opportunity to legalize criminality in advance of their, then you know there's going to be some criminality coming your way. You know what I mean? It just makes sense. So if I watch, you just watch what they do. You watch them legalize something like that. I say, get your money out of the banks. I mean, I said that beforehand anyway, but especially now, like if you hear the bail-in, if you know about the bail-in and you go, yeah, my money's fine in the bank. I'm going to let it ride. Oh, we've got the FDIC. We're backed by the FDIC up to $250,000. Did you know? Well, the FDIC put all their money in bonds, and the FDIC is fucking insolvent right now. So
we have the whole BTFP program just holding it all together right now.
They
have
2% of all deposits on hand anyway to begin with. So even if they were solvent, you'd get 2 cents on the dollar if you were lucky. But again, you're third position on that bank behind the bondholders. And, you know, you're going to get wiped out for sure. So if that were to happen,
even if you got your money back, it only because they'd have to print so much that your money would be worthless by the time. Okay, you had 100,000 to get it all back. Okay, well, what if it's worth 5,000? Or talking about the bail-ins, doing this off the top of my head, but Stanley Fischer, the former vice chairman of the Federal Reserve, also former chairman of the Bank of Israel. So I don't know why we have a former Bank of Israel chairman who's then the vice chair of the Fed.
Oh, you know why?
Yeah. He gave a speech in Stockholm, Sweden, I think it was either like August 2013 or 2015, where he said, we're going to have, the next time around, we're going to have bail-inable bonds as a gone concern buffer. If you like type that in, you can go find it. It's very hard to find unless you know exactly like the terminology on there. But you find it on the Federal Reserve's own website that they have this. I just happened to be looking at it like at that time, and I'm like, this is crazy. Like it's on their own website, and it's been there for almost 10 years talking about how they're going to do it.
Well, Tony works in gold and silver and knows that market really well. And also was one of the first people that had Bitcoin ATM. So like when you think about the direction that the banking is going, let's use this prediction of a false flag again, right? So we have a banking collapse where they bail in and take all the money and the people freak out. What would the solution be? What would make the people happy? That the president comes out and says, you know, this whole thing has been really terrible. We feel, you know, everyone's angry. We have a solution. This is what we're doing. The world's going digital anyway. We're going to make you whole on the back end on this by giving you the new Fed coin. It would just be a Federal Reserve-backed central bank digital currency. You had $106,000 in your bank account. We'll give you $106,000 of Fed coin, right? It costs them nothing to print it up, right? Now, it's something, right?
I was calling it Fed coin before CBDC, so it's funny that you even
They might as well call it that. So I can envision a scenario in which they problem reaction solution the banking industry as well, and the solution is always the solution that they want, which is CBDCs, and maybe they frame it like early on, you know, we'll give you even more than what you had, a little bit more, but
and that, a monthly income,
and maybe a monthly income,
some bugs.
Well, definitely bugs. Bugs are on the menu in the future. So there's a bunch of different ways they can slice it. I think that what we've learned over the last couple of years since COVID is that the American people are docile sheep that you can tell what to do and what to believe and how to think and how to feel about the world, and they will do it. If you sell it to, you don't even have to sell them the lie properly. They don't even have the respect for us to lie, to give us a good lie. They give us C-minus lies, you know, and you just go, boy, you know, I know they hate our guts, but don't you at least have the decency to give me a well-crafted lie? Like, come on. And that's
paragliders.
And instead you get paragliders.
Perfect. And I think it was either March 20th or March 23rd, 2020. There was the Banking for All Act, which was legalizing having a CBDC. So it's like, are you guys coming to tell me that within the 15 days of flatten the curve, you've already had through Congress a bill to basically legalize CBDCs? And then in June, they had another one, I think it was called the Banking Inclusivity Act, how you can use CBDCs to basically help out minorities and black people because cash, you know, could have like the Rona on it or something. And so, you know, they've wasted no time. They didn't even wait a week to already start pumping out bills in Congress to try to legalize all this stuff. And it's just absolutely insane. And so, like, and I think you're absolutely spot on. It's a problem reaction solution to get their GovCoin. And actually, it's in the Economist magazine. I bought this one, not the original. I'd love to have that one You know, you guys know what I'm talking about and probably so do our listeners, where it has it's got the Phoenix rising and
the Economist 1989, I believe. Yeah, it's time for world currency.
And 33 years and 33 weeks later, they had one that has a GovCoin. It says literally says GovCoin on it, and I bought that one. I'm like, oh shit! Like, it says GovCoin on the Economist magazine. It says something about get ready for GovCoin. Then there's in one of the side brackets is something about demonizing guns too. Of course, you gotta throw that in there.
Why not?
You go back to 33.
Owned by the Rothschilds. Sorry, but yeah.
Go back to 1933 with Franklin Roosevelt's April executive order to turn in your gold. It wasn't necessarily gold confiscation, but it made it illegal for you to hoard gold. I mean, just put that in quotations, whatever it means to you. And a lot of people didn't do it because I have evidence in my shop. I buy them all the time, the pre-1933 gold coins. A lot of people didn't turn them in. But most people don't know is that gold, most of it went to the Bank of International Settlements. It went to the BIS. Which was always the plan, you know, reset the gold price. Franklin Roosevelt turned it to $35 an ounce. That was, set in stone in 44 with Bretton Woods, $35 an ounce for gold, and it stayed in place until Nixon took us off the gold standard in 71. But you look at what's happening now with CBDCs, and they are building collection points. The BIS, the IMF has something called the Unicoin. This is happening all over the world. The hope is, and I think the silver lining besides silver is looking at places like Nigeria.
Yeah.
I mean, the elite saw that, the banksters looked at it and said, okay, great, we're going to put this in place here. We're going to give them a central bank digital currency because they're using Bitcoin. They're familiar with digital wallets. They've got to love the technology. It fell flat on its face. And I love that because this is, again, going back to what I said earlier, they're fighting history. Because we're more and more ways for us to decentralize. People are more and more skeptical of government control. There's just more information. Yes, in a large part,
there's a lot of people that are just dumber than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. I think we all can accept that. But there also is, I think, a rise in consciousness. I mean, think about this. 10 years ago, I ran for Congress, and I was like in the Republican Party in East Texas, which is very, you know, it's very right wing and John Birch Society area. Okay. And I had a lot of, you know, people love to hear me talk about, you know, ending the trade deals and auditing and ending the Fed. I was a Ron Paul guy. So I want to end the Fed. I want to bring the troops on. That would resonate. This is pre-Trump. It resonated. But a lot of people would ask me, you know, tell me more about the Fed. What do you mean by that? The Federal Reserve. Because there's no, you know, Henry Ford said it best. He said, if the people of this country knew about the banking system, there'd be a revolution in the morning. Well, they don't know.
That was even before the Federal Reserve, too.
I think it was like about 1903-ish. So
yeah, those guys caught on early about what kind of scam this truly is. It's the biggest scam of all time. I mean, central banking of fiat currency. I say it on my show. Fiat is fake. It's the head of the snake. You get everything leads back to fake money, fake wars, fake people, fake journalism, all that. But with real consequences, and that's where we are now. So I think, you know, you go back and look at the two things happening. You got there's 52 times more currency on Earth today than when I was born, okay? 52 times. Now, so you have this inflated money supply. You're talking about bail-ins. The other part of that is negative interest rates.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not theory. Like, they've thought this up. So they're going to charge you to keep any of your currency, which is, people around the world need to start, and
they're already doing that in all around the world. It's just here they didn't do it. But correct. Technically, it sort of was, if you looked at what the inflation rate was minus, you know, the Fed's funds rate.
What's the name of the government program to tell you to save some of their currency? It's called Feed the Pig. I mean, I don't know what's more apt. It's Feed the Pig.
It is.
You're feeding the pig with the fake money. And I think, again, people are waking up more and more. I just do like little, you know, minute long reels and put it up, and I held up a gold coin and say, you know, this is money, and I hope a dollar, this is currency. Sometimes they're the same thing. Money and currency can be the same thing. But in today's world, all governments around the world have a fake currency. It's called fiat currency. It means by decree. So they can inflate the money supply as large as they want it. Part of the reason, besides ultimate domination, Luciferian control for the CBDC, is for them to be able to expand and contract the money supply in real time. It's very important to them, because if you look at the countries like the United States, 80% of all the $100 bills aren't in this country, or well, we're in Mexico right now, but aren't in the United States. So they're outside of CONUS. They're used as the world's reserve currency. But I'm speaking on this tomorrow too. There is a shrinking. You spoke on money velocity, you know, and again, whether that holds up, but it is a Ponzi. Like, the more people that use it, it stays a somewhat stable currency. But we're seeing the world shrink as far as demand for the dollar is shrinking by the week now. I mean, we're seeing countries dump the dollar, and I mean, Saudi Arabia just joined BRICS. That should be the most groundbreaking financial news anywhere, but you won't see it. So I think, you know, places like Anarchapoco and your podcast and getting this message out to people is really important, because we're on the cusp of something, this historical shift of epic proportions, like which has never been seen, because we've never seen all the countries on Earth at the same time having a fake currency implode. When has that ever happened?
Yeah, that Saudi Arabia component, man. That didn't get any news here. But I mean, George H.W. Bush would be turning over in his crypt if he, you know, to hear that.
Speaking of H.W. Bush, so former CIA director. So you had another former CIA director. I think the creator of it was Alan Dulles, who also was instrumental in getting the BIS started. Yes. And then I don't know if this is actually true, but this morning I saw an Instagram reel. So I guess. I don't know if this is, I can't verify it, but I just have other things to do, but you brought up Nigeria. So I had heard that a couple of Nigerian billionaires were on their way to the Super Bowl and their helicopter went down. Hmm. And it was like a CEO of either a major bank or somebody had to do with like their central bank or something like that, like two big, sort of started running like the Titanic when you had the opposition that went down. Now we'll have to go look into this. So if you guys are calling this out, you know, I just saw an Instagram reel on it, and I'm not saying this is fact, but you know, I wouldn't doubt it. And then Nigeria, though, I think was the blueprint for what they want to do, because then they said like, oh, you know, you don't have to use it, but you know, you're only allowed to take out, I don't know the exact amount, like, oh, you can't take out more than like $50 a day, but it, you know, you can, but we'll have a 10% tax on that. But you know, if like Ian Freeman wants to charge, you know, early on when Bitcoin was like a dollar, if he wanted to charge like a 5-10% commission, now he's in jail for 9 years because he's you know, gouging people, even though now those people are all multimillionaires, former speaker here. And it's just absolutely crazy. But I think Nigeria is the roadmap of what they're going to do. And so maybe some of the opposition was in that helicopter that went down.
I hope it is the roadmap for what they want to do, because they had half of 1% uptake in the CBDCs. So it was the people looked at this and they went, we're not interested. They've got a third of their country transacting in Bitcoin already right now. And that is a young country, a lot of oil there, and indefinitely on the upswing. So if you can start to peel those, a couple of these off, where you show test cases are showing central bank digital currencies just falling flat on their face. You know, one thing I think we learned a lot during the last couple of years of COVID is that sometimes they don't really have a backup plan. And if they have a 10-step plan, you mentioned this kind of earlier, if they have a 10-step plan, but they can't get past the second step, then who cares what the rest of the plan is? You know, if the plan is, well, once we get everybody into central bank digital currencies, then blah, blah, blah. And you take a look at Nigeria and they go, we're not doing it. And you go, Now what do we do? How do we get to step three? And
there might actually be Nigerian princes who are wealthy now if they're getting into Bitcoin. So we're gonna have to be scamming them now if they have all the Bitcoin.
We owe the Nigerians an apology. Listen, you guys may be internet grifters, but you didn't like your central bank digital currencies, so we stand with you on that one 100%.
Oh, man. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about, or where, you know, advice for people?
I want to talk about his project. I want to talk about Wise Wolf Gold and Silver for a second, because he's too modest to talk about it, but I'm not. He has a program called Wolfpack, which gets you, it's an auto buy for precious metals. And I've been one of your first customers with it. You set the amount that you want, and then every month you get a little black box in the mail. And you open it up, and what it is it's a curated amount of the best bang for your buck, the best metals for your buck, right? And sometimes it's silver coins that I've never seen before. I'm sure Tony's really familiar with it. And then those little 1 gram looks like, you know, a tab of acid, but it's actually gold. You know, definitely don't stick it in your tongue. And you get some of these, and I have been slowly stacking my silver collection and adding this through his program.
It's like dollar cost averaging, basically.
It is, and it's easy. And if you're someone like me who I know I need silver and I know I want silver, I just don't know all the ins and outs of it. I don't need to.
Now, can people call you?
I know the guy that...
If people have questions about this, do you have a team?
Yeah, you call my shop, you just get in touch with me. And that came out of Wolfpack came out of my first experiences with gold dealers and silver dealers. There's some great ones in the business, but I bought my first gold coin when I was 22, right before I went into Iraq. And I'd just gotten married, and I said, well, I'm listening to talk radio, and I think gold was $300 an ounce at the time. And I had a couple $1,000 and I wanted to buy some gold. And I called one of the 1-800 numbers, and the guy, when I finally told him how much money I had, he just goes, ugh. I mean, it's a couple grand. It's this kid. So he sold me some numismatic piece of shit. That's what he did. And I didn't know it at the time. I didn't understand it. It was overpriced, way too much. Numismatic is just a collectible, okay? And there's nothing wrong with numismatics if you know what you're doing, but I never do that to people. And so when I got into the business back in 2018, officially, I've been buying gold and silver for, 20 years. But when I got into the business, I decided I'm going to do this different. And Wolfpack is a natural extension of that. So instead of, that gold and silver, the big businesses, they don't go after the people that just regular people. They're like, I got $50 a month. I got $100 a month. I've got $500, whatever it is. So I started out with $50 a month as the lone wolf package. And you're going to get silver and some gold backs. Every once in a while, if I can do it, I'll put a fractional gold coin in there. But it's hard to get gold for under, $50 anywhere, even in fractional form. And we end up saving you money because I have close to 800 members all over the country. So from every tier, we even got one for kids called Wolf Cub. It's $35 a month, and it goes all the way up to 1,000 plus.
So what I'll do, and that's what I'm going to do when we're done with this podcast, I go look at my inventory, we see what we bought that week, and we compile invoices, we look at the competitors, and we try to beat those prices based off of bulk buy-ins. So it's variety, like Charlie said, and we get to sponsor a lot of great shows. We want to sponsor your show. Anybody that's an affiliate, we love them because, hey, just get the message out there and make a little extra money. And so we're all helping each other. It's really a spirit of community more than just, I want to get your money and we're going to try to, you know, you can dollar cost average. You can put it out as, you know, over time as long as you want. But again, it's not the same thing every month. And you get to see where'd my dollar go? It's going to go in these products and its variety. So I'm really proud of Wolfpack. It's been a lot of fun putting it together and meeting people and having my, you know, close to 1,000 members and they court. You see, I have hundreds and hundreds of 5-star reviews, and I'm like, I could scale this if people knew about it. Like, yeah. You know, it's hard to get on any major networks or anything, but if I could talk to 100,000 people, I think we'd have, you know, 60,000-70,000 people sign up. I think
it makes so much sense, and I'm so glad I have done it because it's just allowed me to. You remember the old Ron Popeil, set it and forget it. Remember when he would sell it? Set it and forget. That's what I don't even have to think about it. I get an email saying, "Oh, your order's been processed and it's on its way." I think it's all automated.
It's all automated. We have it. We'll text you. We'll send you an email. Yeah. And I don't hold, like, when we don't hold any funds. So like if you've gone through, I have my people. It's like we're gonna ship out within 2 days. I try to within 48 hours. You're gonna have them once you build. I just don't hold anything. We try to get it out because we're always looking for new products. We want to fill those spaces.
Sending checks or credit cards or different prices depending on.
We're working on a electronic check, but I've got PayPal and all major credit cards, and we do charge a credit. Any bullion dealer is gonna charge a credit card fee. But what we do is we show you, like, okay. If you'd have bought here, all these products at, like, you know, one of them, I'm not going to say the names, but all, you know what I'm talking, the big boys, you're going to save X. You know, it's usually 10 or more percent. So you end up saving, even with you getting charged a little bit of shipping or a little credit card fee.
I can see that's fantastic. I mean, obviously, as working in the wealth management space, I have people come to me all the time looking for that type of service. And then I also see on the other end of the spectrum where people who might only have, you know, $200-$300 a month or $100 a month, and they feel like, hey, I can't just go buy like one coin or it's not worth it, then they end up never doing it. But, you know, if they had it on an autopilot program, then it's just it's taken out and set it and forget it, like you were talking about, and just makes it easy.
And it's necessary. And I think people are starting to reevaluate their relationship with their currencies, and they're going, these soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes that I have in my pocket, I should maybe trade them in for something that has value now. I think that's one of the benefits of this conference, is that this conference is like living in the future. You know, you see things that are happening well before the general public does. So you get this first mover advantage. You understand the role.
Jeff at $3 at Bitcoin.
Right. Jeff at $3 at Bitcoin. You know, when you look, silver at what, 24, 25?
It's under that. Yeah, it's
22
and some change.
22, yeah. I mean, you're going to look back on that and go, that's your $3 Bitcoin. You know what I mean? That you, when you look at $22 silver, you go, can they pull it out of the ground and refine it, ship it for?
One point I want to make on silver is people always want to attack the symptom. They never want to attack the root cause. So when it's like, oh, we need to fight for 15. Well, why not make it $1,500? Or why don't you make it $1,000,000? So back in, I think it was 1964, the minimum wage was about, I think it was $1.25. So you could express this, I've done this analogy a lot, you could express this another way, saying it could be 5 quarters. Well, 5 quarters in 1964 had 90% silver in it, which, you know, I'm not doing the math, but it was probably about $20-ish in today's.
Ron Paul had the same analogy. They laughed at him back, I think it's 08 when he ran for president. He said, I can get gas down to $3 a gallon again, or to a dime a gallon. Yeah. And they said, what do you mean? He goes, well, a silver dime's worth $3.
Actually, I do have some of those dime cards, and that was back then when I didn't have the consciousness expanded at the point where I was like, oh, we need to audit the Federal Reserve once we prove that they're lying. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to trust them to audit themselves. Like, what a dumbass, like, in my 20s thinking this. And then I'm like, we need to end the Federal Reserve. And then I realized, okay, well, they're going to basically end themselves. I don't need to fight them. And then I realized with crypto, it's basically going, we're like, okay, we're going to take our ball, move it over here. And we don't really need to fight them. We just kind of do our own thing. They're going to implode anyways.
The silver where you have such massive evidence that it's manipulated. I'll give you an example. In 1980, it peaked at $52.50 an ounce. Oh, in 1980.
That's crazy.
Okay? You know what a dollar? The
not
difference
even inflation adjusted, yeah.
No, it's not even close. And the reason is, and it's probably there's some conspiracy inside of that story too, because you had the Hunt family in Texas that were buying physical silver on demand and storing it. And I believe the deep state and the financial elite stepped in and crushed them for trying to do that. Because what it exposed, you know, gold's $35 an ounce in 1971. Nixon takes us off, closes the gold window. And by the end of the 1970s, it's close to $800 an ounce. Now, did gold go up in value? No. The dollar lost purchasing power. That's the issue. So monetary metals expose the weakness in fake money. All right, so they go at, no one has picked up that mantle. Anybody could, you know, an Elon Musk could, Warren Buffett, sort of cornered the silver market, but did it quietly and moved out of it. You know who the largest holder of silver in the world is now?
Was it J.P. Morgan?
It's J.P. Morgan. And what did they get convicted of? Manipulating the silver market. And most people can't.
They burned some like 27-year-old intern for doing it or something. Or...
Right, and a lot of people that because it's counterintuitive, you're manipulating to keep it low. So it doesn't get on the radar. Like, why would, because we're thinking of the age of pump and dumps. We're going to inflate something and then leave you holding the bag. Well, what they're doing right now, it's the inverse of that.
Psychological.
It's psychological. It's keeping it low, accumulate. And that's what's happening. I mean, if you, in the real world, if you tried to order physical silver, if a whale stepped in, those orders couldn't be filled. We have evidence of that. There was a billionaire, a lady billionaire in Texas about a year and a half ago. And she stepped in to make an order, and it took a month spread over several brokers to get it done. And I kept trying to tell my people, I'm like, hey, I've seen the same thing as a dealer, and I've got access to mints, and I'm on, you know, weeks long delays. It's not like it was. So very tight supply, and the gold silver ratio is screwed beyond belief. Like it's not even legitimate at all. Like you're talking,
is it like 80, 100 to 1? I don't know exactly.
It's like 86 today, 86 to 1.
And it should be like 20 or something, or 15
well,
or 20.
Okay, geologically, it's 17 to 1.
Oh,
So we start there. But like the United States was founded on 16 to 1, and throughout history, it's been 10 to 20 to 1. Even the Egyptians in some parts of the Egyptian Empire were 1 to 1. But now we're like, what was it, the first quarter of 2020 when the stock market hit the all-time high since 1929, and then the next week it was the lowest since 29, and silver collapsed down to like $12 an ounce. You couldn't buy it for that, by the way. But it was 125-1.
No.
And I think this can't last. So it just kind of, you know, again, do your own research. Don't listen to what I say. Go look at the history of silver and monetary metals for yourself, because what you're going to see is the elites are accumulating. The central banks are accumulating, and they don't tell you to do that. Watch what they do, not what they say. They sell you to feed the pig.
And ultimately, you have to have patience in this. This is a game of patience. I mean, Warren Buffett will say it as well. I mean, over time, it's not, I think his quote was, the market is a weighing machine, but in the interim, it's more like a voting machine, popularity contest. And so, you know what? Let them do their things. Let them rig it, so that way you can go and buy it cheaper, accumulate it cheaper. And eventually, when this all collapses, and you know what, probably all of us here probably would have thought it would have happened 15 years ago, or certainly during COVID, pandemic, because we know that wasn't really didn't exist. But sorry for that Freudian slip there. But yeah, you just gotta outlast this stuff. And so, you know, I guess to make a quick plug for myself, what we're trying to do is help create a plan for people. And I'm coming out with the Great Reset RetirementBlueprint.com, where we're gonna have classes on the strategy, because on one hand, you've got to have your investments, your crisis investments for when the, you know what hits the fan. But if you're close to retirement, you need to have some income coming in as well. And so that's sort of the dichotomy. And so, you know, it's different advice if you're 25, 35, 45 versus if you're 65. And so it's not one size fits all. This is not financial advice. Do your own research on this. But yeah, so would you want to also plug where people can find you guys as well on your podcast? And
macroaggressions.io is the new website. You can find everything there. You can go to my partner's page and you'll find my links to Tony. You'll find links to a lot of the, you know, sponsors, Ken, C60 Purple Power, Ken Schwartz, owner, CEO, or owner of standing right over there. You can Get Macroaggressions wherever podcasts are served, twice a week, once as a monologue, once as a video, or once as an interview on Sundays. And thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
It's awesome being back here. Hopefully there's not another big pandemic as soon as we leave here like last time. And actually last time, a quick little story aside, just to be a jerk to the TSA, I decided that I would throw on a mask. This is February 19th, 2020. I threw a mask on and people were like, no, don't do that. Like, you're going to get in trouble. Like, this is like kind of like too far out there. So I threw a mask on going through immigration and they like made me take the mask off. And then the next time flew July 4th or 3rd without a mask and they got mad. And then the next time I flew with a gas mask and they wouldn't let me on the plane with a gas mask. So I'm like, and then they removed that video from YouTube. So I'm like, wait a minute. First you got mad that I wore one. Then he got mad I didn't wear one. Then he got mad I bought the best, most expensive one you could buy in the market and I wasn't allowed on the plane with that. And so it's just like, you know, make up your mind on what you're going to do. And yeah, so I greatly appreciate both of you. It was great meeting you for the first time. I think obviously we've got a lot of stuff in common, and you guys can find me at thelibertyadvisorshow.com, where we're going to have the Truth to Freedom show, and this is going to be one of the very first shows that we have on there. But you know, thank you guys so much. Thank you for everything that all you guys do, spreading freedom, having courage, and you know, hopefully the whole world doesn't shut down because of disease X 2 weeks after we talk like last time. But anyways, thank you guys so much, and you know what? Check out this information. Take care.
The only way to cure it is to download the exit.
Yeah, so I've been a silver stacker now for the past 2 or 3 years, and I'm a believer in everything that you've said. I follow the same thing. But my question is, I know that silver is valuable because it's used in a lot of electronics and solar panels and all this other stuff. So if the price of silver does go to where it should be, back to the ratios that you were talking about, what happens to the price of all these consumer electronics? And they all go crazy, crazy expensive, right? Right.
Most of the silver is in landfills. I mean, we don't have a recycling rate because it's not worth it. They're not digging for it. There's not a lot of silver mining companies up right now because you can't be profitable. So I've seen a lot of evidence to show that the major banks are stopping their shorts. They're stopping the shorts on silver. So there's a play right now, and I don't know, it's not investment advice because I don't know the numbers or what it would look like, but I think that may be one of the reasons for the manipulation, is to continue to accumulate knowing that there's not going to be the amount that they need because of the price. So there's something built into that, and we don't know because we're not in the lizard people meeting, so I don't know for sure what they're thinking. But I do think that the prices of everything will go up, and that's going to come with the reset of the currency.
You know, World War III and China and Taiwan start kicking off, and all the crap we buy from China, you think you're gonna be able to get that when the U.S. ends up siding with Taiwan? You're not gonna be able to get anything for any price. So if you want to get something that you absolutely need, you've got to already have it. You know, you're already have waited way too long. We're way too long in the tooth on this. And, and I've prioritized a lot of, you know, food and, homesteading and all this other stuff because, you know what, it's important to have silver. It's important to have cryptocurrencies. But, you know, it's also important not to have to get ushered into a FEMA camp because, they're going to force you to eat whatever the poison GMO food.
Yeah, and there's something else with silver, too, on the medical, the healing properties of silver. There's something to that. I think that they just want people to stay away from it because it's not sexy. It doesn't go parabolic. You know, you look at when I started buying Bitcoin from my machines, I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. It was $360 a coin. I wish I had just bought the Bitcoin, but I was putting in the machines to turn it over so people could buy it. So it's a service. I did make some money, but I should have just held the coin, you know? And I mean, I used to all that years later, it starts to go up and up and up. Silver hasn't done that. You just look at the timeline. You know, I was 1 year old and it's $52.50. There's something with it, though. It has so many, the most thermoconductive metal. It's a monetary metal. It's industrial. There's something to it. You sound like the silver bugs that have, you know, I've interviewed many authors that are silver bugs, and you're just like, where does the price go? You know, and so everybody's waiting, but it's going to go. It's going to have to. I think
it's just math.
Yeah.
At some point, it's supply and demand, economics, mathematics.
Common core math or no?
Well, we've been, yeah, it's been priced in common core math so far, divided by its gender. It's so frustrating to see it. But I'll tell you what, I mean, as they say in the Bitcoin world, you pay the price for Bitcoin that you deserve to pay, right? And in silver, you know, you pay the price for silver that you deserve to pay. If you recognize it early on, and frankly, you've had about 30 years of it doing nothing, you know, where you've had time to get it. If you recognize it now and you've got some, you're going to be well prepared. But if you're late to the party, if you can't figure it out, if as Tony said, they suppress it, make it look not sexy and nobody really talks about it, and they want to keep you away from it, if you allow them to do that and you never learn about this stuff until, you know, years later, then you will pay the price for silver that you frankly deserve to pay at a later date, and if you can even get it. So it's frustrating because you know it's being manipulated. It's not theory. They've been found guilty of manipulating the marketplaces. I mean, they're like, nobody went to jail, of course, but like, they are convicted felons for doing this. But so it's you know, it's undeniable that they're manipulating it. I think the questions are why are they manipulating this? And I think what Tony's answer is the reason that you can't give people the opportunity to take a look at it and see it for its beauty. If you do, it undermines your entire system. So that's why JP Morgan can afford to not pump and dump it, or not even, you know, even though they have the biggest position in it, you'd think logically they're a bank, they're trying to make as much money as possible. Well, no, that because they that's a cost of doing business to them. Suppress silver in order to keep all their other carnival games scams going with the fiat system, because that's a much bigger game than the silver. They just keep the silver so that they've got control over it. But when the fiat explodes and JP Morgan, I just don't look forward to a day where you have to go buy your silver from JP Morgan.
Just like now when you've got the Bitcoin ETF. And I remember the first ever crypto conference I went to was in 2017 up in Aspen. And in that same week, Jamie Dimon, he actually said, it was Larry Fink was saying that Bitcoin is an index of money laundering and terrorism. And then at the same time, Jamie Dimon was saying something about how he would fire any trader who was dumb enough to engage in this. And now what? BlackRock has a Bitcoin ETF where they just accumulated, you know, probably, you know, tens if not hundreds of billions of dollars will be in short order. And so, you know, it's very disturbing. And it's also disturbing seeing how, you know, some of the Bitcoin core code got, you know, sort of taken over by the Bilderberg group. And I was blowing the whistle on that when I first found out in I think 2017, 2018 about that, where the head of Bilderberg steering committee, former head Henry de Castries, was also the CEO of AXA, a French insurance company. And then AXA is the one who then put in the seed money for the Bitcoin core development to then take it over. But it doesn't mean that they can try to influence it, but it doesn't mean that they can stop it. And there's all sorts of different ways around it. So, but you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. So, you know, I recommend doing lots of different things, but, you know, but don't do anything that you don't know about. Don't do something just because you saw some guy on the internet talking about it. I mean, everyone has the opportunity. I mean, in your phone, you can find out anything. You know, it's just the information and having the you know, critical discernment to actually realize what's true and what's not true. And so and speaking of silver, one last thing with silver is I saw recently like the Berkey water filters were being banned because it had silver in it, and they were saying silver was like it was
toxic. That's what they say. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because that's what they use for cloud seeding and weather modification. So should we sue them for that?
Yeah. And the irony of JP Morgan, Jamie Dimon and JP Morgan calling out you know, drug trafficking, Bitcoin being used for drug trafficking while owning a cargo ship that was found with tons of cocaine on it.
Not just Mitch McConnell's wife.
Man, yeah. These people are awful. They're so awful that it's almost kind of laughable. And I think that we're all, you know, the fact that we can see through it puts us in a very select group that are, you know, recognize the nonsense for what it is. And as a result of that, you can make moves accordingly. You can put yourself in a position financially to be doing well for a long, long time if you recognize the signs early. But, you know, if you're waiting for the television to tell you what to do.
Tell live vision.
You're going to be waiting a long time, and finally they'll tell you what to do. It'll be the wrong thing, or it'll be too late or whatever. So you're going to have to trust your instincts, do your own investigation, and do your, you know, run it through your bullshit detector, see if it makes sense to you. And if it does, then you're going to have to act, because I can't imagine anything more frustrating than knowing that these things are happening, seeing them, understanding it, undeniably, you know the direction that things are going, and not acting on it, you will feel so bad about it. I mean, it would be worse than never knowing it. At least if you didn't know it, you'd say, well, I didn't know it, I didn't know, and it's not my fault I got wiped out. But if you know this is coming, and you are not being proactive in your life, then you're going to really have some major regrets, I think. So
you got people like, oh, I just want to keep all my money in the mattress. Well, okay, well, what about when it's hyperinflated way? Like, it's probably good to have some money maybe that you have on hand, but what about the day when it's hyperinflated way? You're going to go broke safely. And so, you know, what worked in 2008, you know, is not necessarily going to work next time, but in the long run, we know where things are headed because, you know, it's just math. And, you know, we're paying, not we, but the U.S. government's paying $1 trillion a year in interest. There's no way that that can keep going. And, you know, and ultimately all these bad guys who are doing this stuff and all the Nephilim, there's going to be a lot of bad karma for everything they're doing. And so, you know, I can actually at this point be in a good spot where, okay, what if they do? What's the worst they can do? You know, take us out? Okay, well, you know, we're going to come back reincarnated and really come back and hurt these guys. But, you know, I think maybe my soul wanted to be here to see how the season finale is going to end of whatever's going on for this season. So, you know, I can keep a good spirit about this. But it wasn't very easy in 2009, 10, 11, telling about people about this stuff. And there was days where I'm like, I wish I never read that stupid book from Creature from Jekyll Island, like being like the only crazy person around. But, you know, now, it's now you can say this stuff and it doesn't sound so crazy because you know what, it's just so out there. And maybe one last thing, predictions on 20, this whole, not that the election matters, but who are they going to bamboozle us with this time? Big Mike?
I think it's going to be Trump. I think he's coming back, Trump the Destroyer, to finish the job.
I agree with Charlie on that. I think mathematically, demographically, they're going to need, if you really want to pull it off and sell it, you're going to need some third-party candidates to siphon off some votes. So they're going to need to set that up. But I believe if everything stays in place the way it is now, it's a Trump selection, because that's where you really get to neutralize people that would have otherwise stood up, because there's such a mind control around
exactly
that guy.
Exactly what happened in 2020.
It'll be 2020 all over again. I asked the question, I was on the David Knight show the other day, and I said, so if Trump's reelected, is Fauci automatically president, or do we have to wait for the scamdemic? I mean, I don't understand. I was a Trump guy in 2016.
I hate to admit that I was too, but yeah.
Well, I mean, he was running on the stuff I talked about and I cared about. I'm nationalism and freedom and having a border and on a new world order, all that stuff. I'd bring the troops home. None of that stuff happened, but I'm supposed to have like a suspend disbelief and go back in time to like, so I don't understand what's happening, but people are going to come out in droves and vote for him, and that will, if you see Trump being elected, that's how you know the Great Reset's in full effect.
Yeah, you know what, they probably don't, that would be the one good reason if they don't want to maybe have Michelle Obama in there, because they don't want to blame it all on a black man or black guy or woman, whoever, whatever that ends up being.
America, which I'm for, but again, the MAGA is not that. They're going to just put it in the lap of those people and say, see, look what you did. See, nationalism crushed us. See, yeah, you know, sovereignty crushed us, and it's too divisive, and we all need to unite behind, you know, Klaus Schwabian nightmare.
It reminds me of when Jesse Ventura was running for president, and he said, I'm going to have you, Howard Stern, as my vice president. And he's like, why are you going to pick me? He said, because that way I know that they'll never kill me. So Trump has to pick a vice president that is even worse than he is, so that they go. But I can envision this. I'm not trying to speak this into existence, but I could envision a scenario in which he did have Nikki Haley, and they sent Trump on a mission somewhere, and you know, something bad happened, and then President Nikki Haley, the first woman of color.
Yeah. Then buy iodine and storable food and pray to God.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's bull market of iodine.
And, you know, all defense contractor stocks.
Yeah.
Build your bunker. It's time. Yeah. Nikki Haley assumes the command. You were done.
And I recently saw a clip of Patrick Beck David where he's like, you know what? And the one good thing I like about Trump is he's open. I think it was him. I don't, if it wasn't PBD, sorry, but it was something where, like, you know, the one good thing is I asked him about CBDCs And he's like, you know, tell me more about that. I don't really know about that. I'm like, no, what the fuck do you not know about? You don't know anything about CBDCs? And it's, we're talking now? Like, this has been the main thing that I've been proponing about. Like just right, like, it was like 2 weeks ago. He's like.
Yeah, Kushner's involved in it, too. Yeah.
And his property at, like, 666.
6th Avenue. Yeah, just drove up to Sigan. It's laughable.
Yeah.
Of course you don't
know. Nothing to see here. Everything's fine. I'm just moving into the 666 building in New York City.
And now these idiot Republicans are like, you know, but Trump is open to new information. I'm like, he should already be 100 steps ahead of the CBDC, not just finding out about it for the first time on a podcast.
He should
like
run on a platform of never putting them in. If he were to, yeah, he might get some liberty votes if you got that, if you did that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Like Ramaswamy actually talked him into being against CBDCs.
Did he?
Maybe that was Vivek.
That's explaining to do to Kushner.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that Jared Kushner and Pompeo attended the 2019 Bilderberg meeting. So, go Trump. Yeah. He's a nationalist.
Right.
Exactly. Yep. Go. Either way, the government's going to win. And but, you know, I am hopeful long term because this is now there's so many more people awakened. Trying to talk about this stuff 12, 15 years ago, it was a nightmare. No one wanted to hear about it. And now. You know, you can do it. So I do want to leave with a positive message on this, and ultimately, you know, it probably comes down to spiritual and getting your own health in order. That's another thing. You can stack all the silver you want, but if you're 400 pounds, you've got 20 different medications you're going to take, and there's a supply chain crisis, well, game over. You go get conned into another jab, game over. Or you start, you know, vaccinating all the babies, you know, you've got to start from day one. And so that's why I'm going to plug my girlfriend as well, learntherisk.org, because it's all about. All this other stuff is great, but if your kids and all the kids are getting poisoned and, you know, 80 different shots by the time they're 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, it doesn't matter about knowing about everything else. And so it's so important that this is stopped from day one, which is, you know, being out there and saving the kids. But, you know, thank you guys so much. It was awesome and look forward to doing it again. Hopefully it's not another 4 years. Yeah, take care.